Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.
One of the big stories currently on Herald Online is the vicious biker gang that have put a woman in hospital following an alleged road rage incident in Circular Drive, Port Elizabeth, over the course of the past weekend. Joining us now on Behind the Herald Headlines, Mr. Tundazulu Tati. He arrived soon after the accident took place in Circular Drive last Saturday and the alleged incident and assault by bikers of a lady that's a friend and a girlfriend. Mr. Tati, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How is your girlfriend doing? Is she getting better?
She's still a little bit shocked, but she is recovering, but she still needs to do another operation.
Can you tell us, from your point of view, you arrived after the accident, you were called, and you arrived there with a friend. What did you find?
Okay, on Saturday night, I was at home with my friends. We got a call from Zinke. She told us that she had an accident with a biker at Circular Drive. So me and my friend Bantu, we ran straight to Circular Drive, and when upon arrival, we got there, we saw the VW Tiguan, which Zinke was driving, and then we also saw the bike that had been hit by the vehicle. So the bike was on the side of the road, and Zinke was on the other side of the road, sitting there, crying, in shock. I then went to the ambulance, arrived there, and tried to chat to the paramedics to hear what the situation is of the biker. So the paramedics told me that no, there was no major injury. No major injuries with the biker. He just had a concussion. I then, out of care and concern, I asked the biker's name, and I told him, I also asked for the number, his number, so that we can follow up on his recovery. The biker's name is Fernando. He did give me his name and his number. I then, went on the other side of the road to check up how the lady is. So at the time, the lady was crying and in shock. She was also concerned that maybe the biker might maybe be very injured. So I did notify her that no, the biker is okay. And then we started, the police were already on the scene as well. The police did their job in terms of clearing the scene. Upon that scene being cleared, we were then notified by the police that, okay, everything is all good. We can get off the road. So we spoke with the insurance. The insurance authorized the towing company to tow the vehicle. We then started taking the belongings of Sinclair from the vehicle and put it on Bantu's car, mm-hmm. which is the Chevrolet, the red buggy, which was vandalized by the bikers. So from there, the police left the scene. And then as soon as the police left the scene, Sinclair and Bantu went to the buggy to get into the car and head back home. So when we get there into the buggy, I also brought the last bag and put it in the buggy. So when they were trying to leave, I told them, look, they can leave. My friend, Laduma, is picking me up.
Right.
So they can start going home, and then I'll just make sure that the car is on the tow truck, and I'll leave as soon as the towing company goes with the vehicle.
Right.
Then there was two bikers that went to the buggy. Upon arrival on the buggy, they went to the passenger side where the lady was sitting at. They demanded her driver's license, and she notified them that all that information has been taken by the police already, and that they are not cops. They cannot be demanding a driver's license from her. If they want information, they can just go to Boma police station.
Right.
So what the bikers did, they manhandled her and pulled her out of the vehicle. And they told her she's not leaving the site. They're not going to leave on the scene. So as soon as that happened, I was also there trying to calm down the situation, to avoid the, you know, the unnecessary.
Unpleasant. Fight. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And I was telling them, guys, this is a lady. You cannot be manhandling a lady in this way. Fine. Bantu tried to move their vehicle and turn it back towards the lorry inside. And then, we tried to get the lady back into the car. And then she got into the car, and then one of the bikers went to the driver's side. He went through the window. He put his hand in there, and then he switched off the car and took off the key. Then Bantu got off the car, and then we were on the other side of the road, on the left-hand side now. So there was a mob of bikers that came to us. I think it was about 10 guys that came now. The 5 guys went to Bantu, and the 5 guys came to me. They started attacking Bantu, and then while I was still looking and shocked what was happening with Bantu on the other side, I saw Bantu fall down, and one of the bikers kicked Bantu in the face with those boots, biker's boots. And then while I was still looking at that, then one of the then this other 5 bikers, they started coming to me. They also started punching, but then I managed to dodge that that first shot, and then the fight began. So I was fighting with like 5 guys, and Bantu was fighting with 5 guys. And then also while we were still busy with that fight, then one of the bikers goes straight to the lady in the front seat. She pulls her off with the leg, by the leg, and then she starts punching her, kicking her all over the body, leg, your face, and she was laying on the tarmac after that. So it was a good 15 minutes fight with me and Bantu and the mob of bikers. And then soon after that, then it started, the fight stopped. Now, I was looking for my phone and I couldn't find my phone. So luckily, I had my phone ring somewhere, so I thought maybe it might be on the grass since there was just this arm fighting, so maybe it might have fallen down.
Right.
Only to find out my phone is ringing in one of the biker's pockets. So I went to that biker, I asked him to give me my phone, and then he took it out of his back pocket, and then he gave it to me. I started trying to call again the police, 1111, but the number kept on disconnecting. Also, the lady and Bantu, they were also trying to call our friends and also the police, but still they couldn't get through. 1111 was not helpful that day. Then Bantu managed to call his girlfriend and ask her to go to Kabeka police station and so that they can notify those policemen at the station, to notify the captain at the warm-up station so that they could come back to the scene. So in that way, luckily then, that was successful. So the captain at Kabeka called the captain at Warma, and then they turned back to the scene. Still, during that that time, the bikers went to Bantu's car. They hit it with a brick on the windscreen.
Wow.
And then, the windshield was shattered. And then also on the driver's side, there was they hit it with a fist. Then the window broke. They tried hitting the left-hand side window as well, but that one they failed to break it. But the car was vandalized. In that time, after as soon as that was done, the lady tried to take a video. I think this is the video that has been circulating on social media. But okay. One of the bikers came through and snitched his phone, pulled her out of the car again, kicked her, and then took the phone. She had put her phone on the in between her boobs. So this guy comes, puts his hand inside her.
Oh dear.
Her boobs, and then she pulls out the phone, then she takes out, or she goes straight to the video and she deleted it. And then, luckily, she was able to retrieve it from the recycle bin. And then as soon as that happened still, I saw, while I was just behind the buggy, and, Sinclair and Bantu in the parking. There was one biker that came running, handling a gun, saying that if my friend is dead or if my friend is injured, then they might as well die as well, these gaffers. So one of the the guys, I think it's one of his friends, they stopped him, so he didn't eventually shoot at the end. So basically, and then as soon as after that happens, and the cops arrived, and then also our friends arrived, and then everybody started running away. All the bikers ran away.
Okay.
When they saw the police, and then also the ambulance came back. Ambulance got there. They tried to assist the lady. They took her from the ground, put her on a stretcher, put her inside the ambulance, and then tried to have a look at the situation and how injured badly was she.
If I could interrupt you here and say that this ordeal sounds rather harrowing, the lady driver, Zinclair, I think you said is her name, she was admitted to St. George's Hospital.
Yes, she was admitted to hospital, and then she had a broken, there was a fracture on the bone. And then the kneecap also had a tissue that was torn. Also, she couldn't pee for a day. I think maybe her bladder was affected as well. And then, no, the rib was not broken, but she just had some pains on the ribs. And then also she had bruises and bumps on the face. Yes, we did get in touch with her. She's recovering. She did have one operation. And then there is for the fracture, which the doctors, I think they've tried to repair the fracture.
Right.
And then she's also scheduled to do another operation for the kneecap tissue, which is torn. Yesterday she got out of hospital, but she is scheduled to go back again.
Thank you very much for joining us and sharing your harrowing ordeal from this last Saturday. That's Mr. Tandizulu Tati. Appreciate you joining us on Behind the Herald Headlines, and do wish your girlfriend a speedy recovery from us.
Thank you for having me.
Reports have it that the motorist was pulled from the car and beaten after the accident in an attack which has been caught on camera and has been doing the rounds on social media. We did reach out to the South African police services to give us their latest comment on this issue, and unfortunately, media liaison spokesperson Colonel Priscilla Naidu was not able to join us today. She did give us a comment, though, saying that the investigation is still fresh, but they are expecting arrests soon. That's the comment from the South African Police Services. From the biking fraternity, we thought we'd get comment from Charles Johnson. You're the chairman of the Eastern Cape Bikers Association, Charles. Have I got that right?
That's right, yes. Morning, everyone.
Charles, this would have been a big blow to you and the biking fraternity. I know these are just allegations at this point, but it's a story which doesn't give you a good look. What's your comment?
Yes, thank you. At this stage, I mean, we also don't know exactly who the biker is. We are an association that's got more than 70 presidents that's associated to the President's Bikers Council. So on Monday evening, we had a meeting with the guys, and we found that this person doesn't belong, obviously speaking to all the presidents and the feedback coming back to us, he does not belong to the Eastern Cape Presidents Association. So we have put it out there to trace. We've actually got a group that's going around in the biking association to try and track this person down. So we're putting all our aspects together to help resolve this problem. Obviously, we as bikers, we can't all be blamed for one person that's become violent and arrogant. Obviously, we're also saying and seeing the video that's doing the rounds that alcohol is also playing a role in this video. Obviously, we strive, you know, as biker brothers and sisters to support one another. And we really go out there and help people in need and all this type of stuff. So now this weekend, we've had a biker that came and he broke this whole relationship basically down with public. And so we are asking public to obviously, you know, look at this in a two-way street. We, as bikers, go out, we help people, we support charities, we do a lot for the public. So we really actually can't be seen as violent biker gangs. We also are not gangs. We are bikers associations and biker clubs, and that is what we stand for. We've got protocols in place, and our protocols are quite strongly put out there. We've also got African groups that also belong to our bikers association. So, you know, it's quite sad to see this video doing the rounds, and it's not really good. So yeah, we stand, we feel very sorry for the people involved, and we also will go out of our way to make everybody happy. Unfortunately, this has happened. We don't know the biker. So we also are on the track of actually resolving this whole issue, and it's also gone up to our national ease, all the biking fraternities in the whole South Africa. This has been put out to everybody. We're waiting responses on these guys to respond back to us. Obviously, we can't just let this go. We need to hear both sides of the story, and then we'll go from there.
You say you don't know who the biker in question is, nor I would imagine the group that was with him. If that's the case, how do you know they're not part of one of the bikers' associations if their identity hasn't been confirmed yet?
Okay, so our group that we've got, that's part of the council, we've put it out to our group, and we've also had a meeting, and we've asked response. So with all biker respect, if someone had this person in their club, he would have stood up and he would have said that it was one of my members, and obviously, I'm not talking about our group, the 70 presidents plus, that was available in this meeting. So that is how we got response, that this guy does not belong to the council. To the Eastern Cape Council.
Charles, I noticed this morning there's been a statement put out by National President of the Crusaders Motorcycle Club in which they distance bikers from the incident, but they also make an apology, which I found interesting.
That's right, yes. Crusaders is a 1% club. They are nationally. They're quite big. They don't belong to the council, as being 1%ers, and also the constitution states that they may not belong to any institution. Like I said, I saw that statement this morning come through, and I've put it on our group, on our bikers group, so that everybody could see that. So that is why, you know, I was saying we are going into a direction actually to resolve this matter very soon. Obviously, we as bikers have also got protocols that we follow, and we don't want to overstep those protocols. And but it's been put out there, and it is coming back, and we're getting results coming back. So hopefully soon we will have that culprit, come forward.
Your internal processes, are they running alongside those of the South African Police Service? Are you liaising with the police at all or not?
Yes, the police have contacted us. I'm also on the CPF Business Police Board. I'm the CEO of business. What has actually happened is we are all integrating into this whole factor of resolving this. So we've got a team that's working on this process as we speak. We are speaking to media. Media is calling us. We're not putting them aside. We're just hoping that the right message would come out there so that we don't basically put bikers up front and everybody is gangs, because we're not gangs. We strive not to be gangs, and we don't use the name gang in biking, because that time has gone long past. So we all in a new generation and a new biking years. So we all striving to work forward into this thing of, you know, into the culture of biking and growing biking into the right cause. Like I said, I mean, we've got businessmen, we've got doctors, we've got lawyers, we've got teachers, we've got the normal worker, and all these guys are committed to biking. So, you know, all that we do as a council, we put all the protocols up front, and we make sure everybody sticks to these protocols. Unfortunately, these guys haven't been part of our biking fraternity in the council, so we can't basically take the responsibility for an act like this, but we are there to support this as bikers so that we can sort our name out, you know, because people need to understand you can't have one person causing a problem and bringing the whole Eastern Cape down because of this one person.
Charles, have you had any contact with the victim of the alleged assault at all? Hospitalization was required. Have you had any contact? And if not, do you plan on having contact?
Okay, so what we've done is we've contacted the hospital. We spoke to management. We were going to visit the victim yesterday at 3 o'clock. Unfortunately, the victim has been released the day before. And, you know, we just wanted to go apologize. I mean, even although we're not part of the situation of what this guy's caused, we wanted to go there as bikers and just show our respect and, out of our biking culture, go there and apologize, you know, and explain ourselves because you, like I say, everybody's seeing a biker ride past on a motorcycle in a car, even if the guy doesn't belong to a biking group or a club, he's seen as a biker and he's a bad person. And it's not like
it. Charles, I think we're going to leave it there. Thanks very much for joining us today on Behind the Herald Headlines, and good luck with the difficult situation going forward. Both you and the South African Police Services, may the culprit be brought to book. Have a good day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Cheers, Darren.
Joining us now on Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann, Pastor Ziggy. That's how he'd like me to call him. That's what I will call him. And he is involved in motorcycling and also very, very perturbed and disturbed by the alleged road rage incident in Circular Drive last weekend. Pastor Ziggy, you are a cyclist from a Christian Motorcycling Association, I understand. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, a motorcyclist. That's correct.
And it's the Christian Motorcycle Association that you're the chairman of.
That I'm the Eastern Cape president of, yes.
Okay, having got the title correct, your comments, also disturbed by what happened over the weekend?
Very disturbed. I find it very sad. And I think, you know, if I may just put a different spin on it, it's for me also very sad in the way that this the reporter has handled this, because I spoke to the biker yesterday that was injured, but when he had a collision from behind, it was so bad that yesterday morning when I spoke to him, he said he was on his way back to hospital because he can't walk, you know. And so I think, you know, we need to understand the whole dynamic of what has happened. You know, it's not just the incident of what there's in the news, but there's also a story behind that, you know, and sometimes we need to balance what is going on. Imagine your friend lying down there on the ground with his bike smashed up and you don't know his condition. You know, your feelings get involved, you know, and by saying that, I'm not condoning what the man did to the lady, definitely not. But I can just sort of like have a feeling for that, you know.
Well, it gives everyone else a feeling as well of what was going down. The video certainly is not very flattering for the bikers.
Yes, you know, and unfortunately we haven't been able to confirm details, but I got to, from what I hear, she tried to leave the accident scene, you know, and so we don't know if that was precipitated, what happened after that.
But she was injured, wasn't she?
Well, she was injured by the person, from what I understand, by the person that that beat her, of course, you know. And the airbags were deployed in her car, so I don't think she was injured by the accident itself.
Where do you see it going from here?
Well, as Charles has mentioned, we definitely want to sort this out, because we're never going to have healing in our country if we constantly turn it into issues that it's not actually so, you know. So we want to bring restoration. We obviously want to meet up with the lady and see what we can do to resolve this in a way that we can bring about reconciliation, because if we keep hurting each other, it's never going to resolve.
Are you going to be reaching out personally to the victim?
Absolutely. We're part of the Biker Council, and so we're working together with Charles and the other presidents, and so we're working as a one unit, supporting one another through this.
If the biker in question were to be identified today, in the perfect world, how would you see things playing out from there?
Well, I would like to see that he brings about restitution. I don't know how we're going to do that. We'll obviously have to talk to the lady concerned, you know. Certainly, as I said, we need to bring about reconciliation. So the two need to come together and to talk about it, you know.
We have had comment from the South African Police Services this morning saying that the investigation is new and fresh, but despite that, they are anticipating arrests very, very soon. Will you be working with the SAPS as well, or is that completely separate?
As I said, I will work with Charles and the council because we will work together on it. You know, we that's why we are called a brotherhood of bikers, because we work together to resolve stuff.
We're going to leave it there. I appreciate you joining us. Thank you for your time. Pastor Ziggy, the Eastern Cape Regional Chairman of the Christian Motorcycle Association. Have a good day.
Thank you, Darren.
That was today's edition of Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.